rhythmical expertise. It is very nice and even very spiritually significant if devotees come together at a time when the day has passed and just forget all the material designations, forget that they are rich or poor, forget that they are men or women, and just come together as brothers and sisters in harmony who chant the holy names of the Lord together. This is a very, very powerful process, and as we have heard, it is the process for attaining God consciousness or Krishna consciousness in this age. Now we will see some. You want to hear it upstairs, or
it's okay. It's, I wanted to change the block. It could be more loud.
Yes, maybe if you feel it is suitable, please do so. You are the best of the technicians.
Sorry, Mark.
You found the right plug, or?
I just know.
Yeah.
Try to.
Krishna sees your sincere attempts. I believe it is loud enough, or can you hear in the back of the room? Now I just have to try to get the German accent out of the English and sound, to try to sound a little bit more British. You will have to give me your well wishes. So here I'm a little bit louder now. Is this good? I can't guarantee for my accent, but I will try my best. I would like to today draw your attention to a very ancient and old spiritual technique which is called building the spiritual circle. The spiritual circle is an atmosphere which we can create in our lives, which both protects as well as nourishes ourselves. We will see usually that saintly persons are depicted as having something like an aura. Do we say aura in English? Yes. An aura around their heads. In German language it's called ein Heiligenschein. That means the light of the holy people. That is usually there when you see a spiritual person. This spiritual light may not be something which you can see, like maybe the light from a light bulb, but it is something which you can feel when you do meet a spiritual person and you see him. You feel there's something emanating from him. If you are a person who is open and inclined to spiritual life, you feel very glad and you smile. If you are a person who belongs more to the demoniac disposition of mind, you feel highly disturbed. In fact, you might even feel afraid. And if you are in between, you might feel a little insecure. I saw all these three reactions on Saturday evening when we were doing Harinams through the town of London. On Sunday I didn't see anything of the reaction of people because I was in the midst of a very, very enthusiastic kirtan. The London devotees have chanted and danced that I almost fainted with appreciation. But on Saturday I had an eye for the people whom we passed, and I saw most of the people becoming extremely pleased and looking very pure in their face as they looked at the devotees, and responding with laughter. I saw some people who were getting very, very annoyed. They almost looked like in the old movies of Count Dracula, where someone shows the cross to the Count Dracula and he goes and he hides in the darkness of his castle. But some people were undecided. They did not know to which of the sides they belonged. And maybe that was your reaction when you first met the devotees. You didn't know, should you laugh or should you cry? You were undecided because it was just so different than everything which you saw before. Don't worry, I will not request you to identify on which side you are. I believe that you are all on the spiritual side, and you have noticed that when you do meet a spiritually enlivened personality, there's something about him which touches you. At times you feel very, very happy, and you laugh and smile, but at other times you feel almost a very tender emotion in your heart. You feel almost that meeting such a person and coming into his energy circle or spiritual circle is profoundly changing your perceptions and profoundly changing your personality, because what happens is that you begin to participate in the wonderful spiritual energy which is emanating from a saint. Do you know that the ancient concept of darshan has a very, very interesting spiritual explanation? We say to take darshan, which means to visit a holy shrine like the altar, to look at the deities and pray. Or we also say we take darshan of a saintly person. What we mean is we visit him, we may pay our respectful obeisances, and so on. We may ask questions and so on. But there's a dimension in darshan which escapes very often the attention and the knowledge of the person who takes darshan. This dimension of taking darshan is more or less passive spirituality. Just by being in the presence of the saint or the deity, you become, so to say, charged with his spiritual energy. It's almost like going to a gas station and parking your car there, or putting your car there and then switching the car off. What happens in the gas station is passive empowerment. The car doesn't do anything. It just sits there, and it has opened its receptacle, the benzene tank, and now the rest of what happens is really up to the gas filling station. The benzene flows into the car. In the same way, the subtle effects of darshan work. You come in the presence of the deity or a sacred person, and then you absorb his energy. It's a passive thing. You don't have to necessarily ask complicated questions and explain your situation in all its complicated variety, you don't necessarily have to impress the sadhu with a complicated array and display of words. No, passive spirituality means you just be there, and the only thing which you have to bring with you is an open heart, and then you begin to absorb the influence of a sacred, saintly person. This is the meaning of darshan. You could call it in intellectual language passive spirituality. In a spiritual life, blessings which are obtained by darshan are much, much more significant than the own endeavors which you do through chanting mantras, observing rituals, following rules and regulations. The power of blessings is more, is playing a greater role in your spiritual upliftment than your own endeavors. This is what we mean with passive spirituality. You only have to bring a receptive ear and a receptive heart, and then you do become charged by the spiritual energy which a sadhu has built over many years of determined spiritual practice and of determined life. This also happens when you go before the deity. My spiritual master used to say to disciples who were in difficulties that they should not concentrate any longer on the difficulties which they experienced, but they should go before the deity. Deity means the Lord on the altar, and they should only look at him and chant the holy names of the Lord. And by just doing this, they would receive the blessings of the deities, and their lives would totally transform. As some of you know, I am coming from the Radha Madan Mohan Temple in Germany, and as far as I'm concerned, these deities are the most beautiful deities. Even why do I say this? I don't want to offend all of you who might find Radha Gokulananda or Shishi Radha London Ishvara the most beautiful deities. I find Radha Madan Mohan the most beautiful deities because I have a personal relationship of service to these deities. I believe that for you, that the deities which you serve are the most beautiful, because deities begin to show their beauty if a devotee develops a relationship to the deities. If you sit many times before these powerful deities, you will feel how you are blessed and how you are charged by their mercy, and you feel your life changed. I would like to tell you that a couple of hundred years ago, there was a Radha Madan Mohan temple which was situated in Karoli. Has someone of you visited this ancient temple? Maybe Parushuram Prabhu? Have you?
Moksha Lakshmi
has gone.
Yeah, I went with Anjana actually. We went together one time.
Oh, you are very intelligent. These deities are extremely powerful in giving blessings. Anyone else has been to Radha Madan Mohan in Karoli? Damodar Priya has gone. Only ladies have gone. I have also gone. But what I wanted to tell you is a lady story. In this ancient temple, which tells you a little bit the power of blessings, the power of taking darshan, in this ancient temple, there lived a few pujaris, that means priests who worship the deities, and every evening a poor farmer's lady came by. She had to wade through the Yamuna, which at that time was flowing past this beautiful temple, and she would bring a little container of milk. How would we call this container? It was something like, you know, this Indian lotus, or you know, a cup could be a lid could be put on top. Yeah, kamandalu, you mean? No, not exactly. It was a little thing, you know, a little pot with a handle and then a lid on it. A jug.
Baton they call in Hindi. I don't know the English word, but baton they call in Hindi.
They call it baton in Hindi. Yes, it's like a jug. Like a jug. Yes, you are very expert in the English language. Like a jug. So she would come and give this milk, which came from her cow, to Radha Madan Mohan, as a night milk. Krishna likes to drink milk for the night because it pacifies him. It, milk is just very nice in the night. So this lady came every day with her simple offering of milk. One day, the priest took her milk, poured it like he used to do every night into the pot, and as he poured the milk from her batoon or from her jug into the pot, which was just heating up, he screamed in terror, "Oh!" Because a little fish, big like this, was in the button or the jug of that lady. And if he would not have been attentive that night, he would have served the Lord together with the milk a cooked fish, almost like Bengali kitchen. But what totally upset the priest is that now for the first time he knew what the lady was doing. He always had wondered, how is it possible for the lady to bring so much milk? She's so poor and she has to live. Now he knew. When the lady would cross through the Yamuna, she would just open the lid of the jug and just put a little bit Yamuna water in the milk, and in this way increase the quantity of the milk. Now that one day the lady must have been inattentive and a little fish swam into her jug, and in this way the truth about the wealth of the lady was displayed. The priest felt so absolutely betrayed in his trust and faith to this poor lady that he just swallowed dry. This is what they say in Switzerland. It means there's nothing to swallow except for your frustration. This is what it means to swallow dry. And he ran out to the lady. He made a huge scene. The poor lady standing there shaking. "You rascal! You good for nothing! You are henceforward forbidden to bring your milk, which is diluted by water, to the deity. Never cross the pathway of my eyes again. Go now. Ciao. Go. don't return, and you are forbidden to take darshan of the deity for one complete year. Bas, no argument. The lady was shaking. She went back into her hut. She was so disturbed in mind that she decided to fast until her death would take her from this world. Now after the third night, the deity Madan Mohan decided he must do something about his poor devotee. He understood, and he didn't mind to drink Yamuna milk or milk which was diluted by the river Yamuna, because he loves Yamunaji. He decided that maybe he had arranged things too harsh for the lady. And on the second night, he came in the form of a beautiful young boy and knocked at the door. "Nobody's here, nobody's here," said the lady. "Who is it?" "It's me." "Who is me?" "Me." Well, the lady just got up and opened the door of her hut, and there she saw the most beautiful young Brahmin boy. "I'm so thirsty. I have not drunken milk for 2 days now. This is a supreme misery. I have no milk. I have nothing any longer. I have a few more hours to breathe. That's all." "No, there must be some milk." So when the lady heard the boy asking for milk, she thought it was a beautiful beggar. And she went to her cow and relieved the udder of the cow from the milk, said, you take the milk. The boy took it, and afterwards he said, "Mother, I'm extremely tired now. I have taken a very big meal. I've drunk so much milk. I never got so much milk, and it was without water." So the lady looked at the boy, and who was this boy? She had never seen him in the neighborhood, and she joked about her water adventure. Now, so the lady said, "So what do you want to do? You're very tired. Can I take rest in your hut?" "Oh," said the lady, I'm not sure. I mean, the priest is thinking I'm very bad person, and if you're such an aristocratic boy, if you take rest in my hut, and maybe they start talking some strange talk. You never know, these priests are nowadays very intolerant. "I just put a little water in the milk, a little, because the cow was giving so little milk that day. But I've never done this before. And now I can't see my Madan Mohan." So she started to cry. The little boy said, don't cry, mother. Let me lay down a little bit and sleep. No one will notice." So the lady welcomed him. It was after all the beginning of the night, and she slept in her corner, and the boy slept in his corner. And then the boy said, "Oh, mother, it becomes quite cold here. Can you give me a blanket?" She put a very old, ragged blanket over the boy with motherly affection and went to bed again. Early in the morning, when she woke up and looked to the place where that mystical boy had slept, she noticed he was no longer there, and her blanket was also missing. She said, "It's all right. Let everyone take from me. I'm at the end of my wits. Now she started to sleep, but at around 8 o'clock she heard a violent knocking at the door. Open! Open! It was the voice of the priest. Open! She opened it. There was the priest. I don't know if it was possible for the priest to develop a red head, because his complexion was rather dark. He looked infuriated. You rascal, you have not only have you given diluted water, not only have you given a fish in the water, now you sneaked into the temple and put on the shoulders of Krishna your old smelly blanket. The lady was shocked. How can you say such a thing? No one can come in the temple. It's locked very safely for the night. No, you have somehow went through the Abhishek pipe or done something crazy to come inside, and you have given your blankets. When I came into the altar room to dress the deity, he had your blanket on his shoulders. I was identifying this blanket by some people from the village who said, only you are so poor that you have such a ragged, smell-filled blanket. Is this your blanket? And he produced the blanket which he had found on the deity. And the lady was screaming in ecstasy, Jai Madan Mohan! Jai Madan Mohan! Oh, Madan Mohan, you are so merciful. The priest, what is he? You have come in the evening, you have drunken my milk, and you have accepted my blanket when you felt tired and cold, and you rested with it. Jai Madan Mohan! Jai Madan Mohan! Jai Madan Mohan! So, the priest didn't know what to say. He was very, very angry, but at the same time, she noticed there was such a spiritual effulgence coming from this saintly lady that he thought maybe she has a special relationship to the deity. He went home, and in the next night, Madan Mohan appeared to him and said, this lady who always came to take my darshan came with a very open heart, and as a result I decided to give her my special mercy. My special mercy is that I first take everything away from my devotees. All his good name, all his fame, all his self-composure. He gets very nervous and feels insecure in this world. And then my devotee understands my only shelter is really Lord Krishna. And then to such a devotee who has taken exclusively shelter at my lotus feet, I give my beautiful sweet darshan. Hare Krishna. So this is what we mean with darshan. The Lord, when you come before him, he takes your case seriously and he does something to you. I think Parushuram could tell many stories how the Lord has taken care of him in times when he was somewhere in some wild unprotected place in the country. The oxen were afraid and you had to still walk 10 kilometers, and the wolves were howling. And at that moment one needs to take complete shelter, and then the Lord and one may go through this world and others may not understand one. The newspaper might glorify us, but our own family cannot understand us. And in this way the Lord is very, very merciful to his devotees by first taking things away so that the devotee can do what is called ekanti bhakti. That's real bhakti, bhakti which is focused on him alone. Then the Lord is very merciful. So I wanted to speak today on the spiritual circle. I was carried a little bit away by the concept of darshan, but this concept you need to understand if you want to understand how you can increase your own spiritual circle, your own spiritual effulgence, your own spiritual life. When you meet someone who has a strong spiritual circle, you will find two qualities in him. You will find that there's love in his heart, and you will also find that there is a natural sense of detachment. However, when you want to watch your own spiritual circle, you should see, do you have love in your heart and are you detached? If you are not having a strong spiritual circle, you usually have fear in your heart. Fear of what will happen to you. Hare Krishna, have a nice evening today. Thank you very much for coming. Hare Krishna. Yes, please serve our guests today. Am I too long? Maybe I'm sometimes a little long-winded. So if you have a strong spiritual circle, you will feel these qualities of love and of detachment in your heart. But if you have a very weak spiritual circle, weak spiritual health, you will find fear in your heart. Oh, what will happen? Oh my God, what will happen? And you will feel how almost insurmountable attachments take possession of your heart and make your heart very small and very afraid and very stressed and tremendously attached to your own plans. What I feel is very important is that as devotees, we are honest with ourselves and we make a regular inventory of our hearts. Prabhupada used to say to his disciples when they would ask him for a measurement of how spiritually advanced they were, Prabhupada would say, you can test your heart by finding out how attached you are. I think this is a very good test way. I don't know if you have in England, but in Germany they have these things, stripes, you know, it's like paper, which you can use to test how much acid you have in your body. It is available in England as well. Litmus, yes, it's litmus. You see, by how this paper reacts to your physical body, how much acid is available in your body, how much is there. So every human being can do this without having to undergo complicated tests. In the same way, you can very easily test the level of your advancement. You don't need any psychologic, any spiritual elevated soul to test you. You can just go in your heart, I don't want to reveal what is in my heart. you can by finding out how attached you are in your life, how difficult it is for you to let go and surrender to Krishna's plan in your life. If you become spiritually advanced, it's so easy for you to let go. You will say, yes, may Krishna's desire happen in my life. Whatever he wants, that's the best for me. But if you are very spiritually weak and your spiritual circle is very much down, oh, it's so difficult to even to want to find out what is Krishna's plan for you. Even this is... you are not prepared when you have a weak spiritual circle. Anyways, the question here is, how can you increase your spiritual circle? What can you actually do to make your heart receptacle for spiritual energy, so that in your life you also become an effulgent, bright-faced spiritualist? What can you do so that your heart is filled with a beautiful bhakti, devotion for the Lord, love for the Lord? And what can you do so that you feel that you can surrender to Krishna's plan? This is a very good question. What do you think, Manisha?
Chanting the holy name?
Manisha thinks chanting the holy name. How would you chant the holy name?
Attentively.
Attentively, says Manisha, and?
With love.
And with love, with priti, yeah. Actually, if you chant, Prabhupada would say, with love. I would really request all of you, before you chant your rounds, sit down first and think of Lord Krishna. Think of Krishna's greatness. Think of a quality of Krishna, like how a quality which makes you grateful towards Krishna, so that you can chant with some feeling. If you chant mechanically, like most of the Hare Krishna people do, then you will not experience actually how the spiritual circle, how your spiritual atmosphere grows. Once there was a guest in Srila Prabhupada's lecture, and the guest wanted to know what Prabhupada felt when he chanted. So he said, he asked, what do you feel when you chant? And Prabhupada gave him immediately an answer. It was immediately on his tongue. It came directly from the heart. He said, I feel no fear. What an interesting answer. Is that Parashuram Prabhu? I feel no fear. Immediately, it came just spontaneously. When you chant with attention, as Manisha has told us, and as love, with love, you immediately change the platform. You are no longer on the platform of the worried little heart, the weak little heart, who is so full of worries, will this work out, will that work out? But you feel no fear. This is what happens. You really change the platform. And you come on another level of existence. And you feel, oh, everything is taken care of. Relax. let me be here. This also came to my mind. Manisha, how can you read thoughts? This is very surprising art which you have learned. I was thinking also to increase, but I was thinking also of something else. to increase your spiritual circle, you should have sadhu sangha. When you have good sadhu sangha with good devotees, then in your heart you feel some enlivenment, you feel some inspiration, you feel some impulse, so to say, which can move you onwards. In Padma Purana it is said very nicely and very interestingly that if you meditate about a spiritually strong person, then a certain percentage of his qualities will enter into your own heart. I would like to request you to think of the times when you were teenagers. Do you remember this time? When you were teenager, what do teenagers do to the walls? They stick their idols there. Sport idols, usually pop music idols. You were doing? I also was doing. I was film idols and classical music idols, Beethoven, and I liked classical music and Rolling Stones as a teenager. Because why does a teenager do this? Sometimes our Krishna conscious parents get totally unnerved when they see their beloved saintly son or saintly daughter sticking a meat eater on the wall. So this happens. Some Bradley spear or some this gangster or that gangster and so on. You know why the teenager does it? He wants to now be separate from his family. He wants to be an individual, and he somehow feels that if he looks at the picture of this certain musician or sportsman, that he will somehow develop the ways and manners and means of that particular star. And he is right. It works. If you meditate about Che Guevara, for instance, this is for teenagers very important, then you will feel a revolutionary spirit in your mind.
Now I know what went wrong with me.
You know, you were meditating about Che Guevara when you were a teenager. Still doing it. By this idol which is on your wall and which you meditate about, you do imbibe some of the qualities. Huh? This happens. It gives you a certain strength to do something which that person used to do. This is very, very, very true. Many people, before they do certain things in India, they go to certain altars where certain gods and goddesses are there. Demigods, as we say, demigoddesses, and they move them, they sing about this personality, they move themselves into a highly emotional state of being, and then they capture some of the energy and use that in their lives. All teenagers know about this, and we as Hare Krishna devotees also know it. You might have seen, I mean, you are mostly familiar with this center, but here you see a very, very large enlarged painting of Srila Prabhupada, and not painting, it's a photograph. It's a beautiful photograph, Parushuram. You have shown your great taste. It's a beautiful photo, because we as devotees want to so much imbibe some of the qualities of Srila Prabhupada, maybe his determination, his absorption in Krishna. Therefore we put such paintings, or we put pictures of other spiritually enlivening personalities on our in our altar, and we feel some qualities are coming. It works. So sadhu sangha, or association with spiritually minded persons, works very much on your psychology, on your mindset, and so on, and you begin to imbibe some of the qualities of these persons through the darshan. It is wonderful. It is very wonderful. It's passive spirituality, in the sense that your batteries are recharged by that darshan. As a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, I very consciously do this. I look at pictures, I pray to him, and I feel how some of his wonderful qualities are touching my heart and inspiring me. So sadhu sangha is something which can be done to recharge your spiritual batteries. Another technique or practice is maybe better, and I will end with this here because we are also a little hungry. It's my last, and I think it's a very good point. I want to ask Parushuram,
he thought of showing some slides. Yeah. Should we do this before the meal? Because afterward, otherwise it may get too late before.
Yeah. Is it a DVD?
No, it's some slide. Well, this is a technical discussion. You please don't hear anything. it's we have from the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Gaurahari can help you with the computer. So we have a special surprise. We cannot tell it. So while the devotees are preparing for the surprise, I would like to make my last point. Do I still have your attention, or is your attention highly disturbed by an unconcentrated mind? It is still with you, the attention. Good. Please pay close attention, because our two devotees will be walking across the room and making everything ready. The last point to help you recharge your spiritual energy is really to read in sacred scriptures. It is something which works very nice, and I would like to describe you a little bit the experience of increasing your spiritual circle through sacred reading. You may come in a total mental way, and you might become full of worries, and you might be on a certain mental energy, but then if you read in sacred scriptures and you listen to the scriptures, please try to listen at this moment. You have seen this many times in your life. It is not so interesting. This point is more interesting. If you hear and listen to sacred literature, it can immediately make a different atmosphere. I made today an experiment of this. We drove in our philosophical car, and we were talking different things, and then I said, I want to read something. And then as we read something, the whole atmosphere has changed. Before that, the devotees and the back bench of the car were giggling and laughing about highly wonderful things, most properly, and then we read, and immediately the atmosphere was chastened. I could say it was. Or we had talked before this about a certain situation in life, and when we were hearing this sound vibration, the atmosphere changed totally. I was a little shocked because everything changed so fast. I hadn't intended that. I just wanted to make an innocent experiment. but I was shocked by the result. The people who were with us, driving to this wonderful matchless gift, were immediately changing their whole perception on life, and the atmosphere was totally changed. Have you not all experienced this? When you read in the spiritual scripture, then all of a sudden you feel a sense of relief in the heart. You feel like this sound means relief. you can immediately feel this. So I would, but often enough we are so totally unenlightened in our lives that we just forget to contact the source, the power source of the spiritual scriptures. Do you agree?
Yeah, I just have to leave. I have to be the bus pass.
Oh.
I have to give it back before a certain time. I have to
leave. But please eat some prasadam before you leave. So I will now stop torturing you with a lecture. We want to show you something very, very nice, which will give you a deep impression in your spiritual life. I think some of you have to come here because you... Oh, is it a screen which shines through?
No. One side.
One side only. Thank you very much for listening so attentively and so cooperatively. I hope my German accent was not too much for you.
Is everybody squash over?